A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. I'm coming to you live from D.C. Gulag. I'm at about day 950 right now of my incarceration without a trial for being a January 6th patriot. I think today is an incredibly important day because I have an historic interview for you guys lined up. I truly believe this will go down in history as kind of a turning point. You have a January 6th political prisoner interviewing and bringing on the Political Prisoner Podcast, one of the founders of a Black Lives Matter organization out of Rhode Island. He is actually the founder of BLM Rhode Island. Mark Fisher is here with me. He's 48 years old. He's got a wife and kids. He's a father to five kids. He's a family man. He's actually leans towards a libertarian conservative side on many issues. We have a lot of common ground to paint between the BLM and the Jan 6 MAGA community, a lot more similarities than we have differences. And I think that this is a rare opportunity for everybody that's listening right now to maybe drop down your guards, drop down the preconceived notions, realize that Mark Fisher is a man of God, he loves Jesus Christ, and he's out there fighting for the rights of his people and doing what's right by his community, just as we do for our community. And I'm just so glad to bring Mark onto the program. Mark, what's up, brother? God bless you.
How you doing, Jake? God bless you, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm feeling blessed, even though, you know, we're going through some rough times in this country, and especially in the judicial system and with the politics here. I think that the Americans are strong enough to make it through. What about you, brother?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing that's wrong with America. That's what's right with America can't fix. I believe that wholeheartedly.
I love that. I really love that. So to give the audience a little background here, Mark and I just met last week on a prayer group call for the January Sixers that we do every night nightly at 9 p.m. He was so humbled to join us in prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus and sit there and listen to the community. It was actually one of the Patriot prayer nights that we do Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Prisoner's Record Telegram, and I had about three or four other Jan Sixers with me in my cell, all huddled around. We were praying for, one of them had a sentencing coming up the next day, and Mark was right there in the midst of us. And for me to have my first conversation with Mark in that environment, it meant more to me. This goes way beyond politics, and that we're spiritually united as Americans, one nation under God, and we need to remember that. We're not one nation under Republican, one nation under Democrat, one nation under conservative or liberal. We're one nation under God. And so for having Mark to join me in prayer was just, I mean, incredibly, it meant something to me. It was deep. Thank you for joining us for that, brother.
My pleasure, man. Hey, that's what I do, man. I'm a man of faith, and I'm in the praying business. So it was just a blessing to be a part of that. And I thank you as well for your brotherhood, your spirituality as well. And like you said, you know, that means more to me than anything. That's a great foundation. That's a great building block for, you know, our relationship going forward.
Amen. Amen. So let's get into this because there's so much to unpack. There has been so much toxicity that the American news media complex primarily has attributed to the Black Lives Matter and to the January 6th movement. You get, you know, all of these conservatives on one side calling, you know, the BLM movement absolutely, you know, crazy things, you know, domestic terrorists and stuff. And we definitely did see a summer of rage, reasons behind which we can go into. But, you know, we have the BLM on one side and you have Jan 6 on the other side. And I don't think it's that black and white. No pun intended. I think that the movements that we represent, the demilitarization of our police force in America, the tyranny that the police force and like the Capitol Police on the steps of on the Capitol on January 6th murdering four unarmed American citizens, can really, I mean, there could be uniting around these things instead of people trying to divide, you know. So let me ask you some questions, Mark. First and foremost, tell me background about your involvement in BLM Rhode Island.
Well, we formed an organization, me and a couple other members co-founded that organization about a week after George Floyd was, you know, murdered, as we saw, we witnessed on TV. You know, 8 minutes and 46 seconds, that police officer, I believe his name is Derek Chauvin, nailed onto his neck. And, you know, we got to call it what it is, because we have to have these conversations first and foremost, because if we don't have a meeting of the mind, then we just can't meet in the middle. And like I said initially, there's nothing that's wrong with America that what's right with America can't fix, but we have to be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And so when that happened, the world exploded. Black Lives Matter exploded onto the scene, not only nationally, but globally. And so we were among the first to form our organization. And we know every state ended up creating a chapter. It touched every corner of the country globally. Countries all over the world started having Black Lives Matter chapters, because it was a collective, ubiquitous rage and anger that was felt globally and nationally at what we saw, what we witnessed. I think being home during a pandemic also exacerbated that whole situation, where we just felt like something has to be done. Everybody who has a mind, a conscience, you know, was affected by what they saw with their own eyes. You know, your eyes don't lie to you. Your mind might, but your eyes don't lie.
Mark, let me interject one second here, because what you just described, if the audience is listening and you take it, say it's not, he's not talking about George Floyd right now, but imagine he's talking about a stolen election. They're literally the similarities. I'm not saying that they're anywhere near, that human life is invaluable, way beyond any type of political action. But what you just described with the exacerbation with COVID and the outrage that the American people felt, that's what we felt on January 6th at the steps of the Capitol. Like we were losing something like that. It just, to me, how you described your feelings on George Floyd and the police brutality that we've witnessed in this country in many occasions is exactly how we felt on the steps of the Capitol January 6th. That's why we were doing what we were doing, protecting our country.
And I know this, brother. And let me tell you something. I understand. This is why I stand in solidarity with the J6ers, because I understand from a different perspective. I have the same feeling, though, of having your rights being stomped, of losing ground, of being disenfranchised, of being marginalized, of, you know, feeling helpless. You know, this is the feeling that I had when we began this organization. And this is why I stand in solidarity with the J6ers. And I understand that what's happening right now is a political, and it's almost like, you know, and I have to be careful, because like me and you spoke about earlier, I understood when I began my organization that I was putting myself out there, and I was also putting my life on the line. I'm doing no less in what I'm doing now. But these are the type of moves that have to be done to move the needle. We have to be bold. We have to have bold leaders for the public to emulate. And I understand what's happening right now with January 6th is being done for strictly political reasons. They're pretty much being sacrificed. They're like lambs to the slaughter, and the message is being sent very loud and clear. You don't question the government. You don't talk back. You take, you know, what we give you, and you accept it happily. You know, it's like my brother used to say, you'll get nothing and like it. So, but, you know, I understand what's happening. It's right now it's going through the court systems. It's going through the justice systems, like so many of my friends and brothers and relatives had to go through.
The broken court systems.
And I was coming up. So I can completely, totally relate and empathize.
Thank you. Yes. That empathy is what's necessary to heal America. We got to put our feet in other people's shoes every once in a while in this country and understand what transpired inside the black community is very similar to what transpired inside the MAGA community.
You have 1 minute remaining.
The disenfranchisement feeling is something that can make people go to great lengths. And so We're gonna come back after this 1 minute break, and we're gonna talk more to Mark Fisher, founder of Black Lives Matter Rhode Island, about aspects of what makes BLM and MAGA similar in many ways, and how we can come together to move the needle back on government corruption, tyranny, police brutality, and the militarization of the FBI and the police forces, and work together and heal this country and take it back from the claws of the Democrats and Republicans and restore it to we, the people. Mark, thank you so much. We'll be right back after these commercials. God bless you, Mark. Stay tuned, everybody.
I love it.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Political Prisoner Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lang. Where are you guys listening right now? Are you listening on Apple Podcast app or Spotify Podcast? If you guys want to listen on those two platforms, go right now to the Apple Podcast or Spotify app. Type in Jake Lang. You guys can listen to all the podcasts on there. Super convenient. Or you can listen on my brand new conservative Christian TV channel, Blessed News Network. We have live shows Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can download the free Blessed News app. Just go to the Android or Apple App Store and type in Blessed News and download there, watch for free. And we're back right now with an historic interview. This is, I mean, I'm telling you guys, when people look back on this interview about 10, 20 years and see these two groups and these two seemingly opposite ways of thinking, how similar they are in so many respects, especially the position that I'm in, being abused by the criminal justice system, and BLM having that feeling, the minority community in this country having that feeling, and now me coming to understand what that feeling feels like as a white American male, is just the spiritual implications and the political implications couldn't be overstated. This is epic. So we got Mark Fisher here, founder of Black Lives Matter Rhode Island. I wanted to ask Mark some specific questions about some of his value systems and that of the greater Black Lives Matter community, why it seems that some of these things have been perverted by the news media. Let's start off specifically with some of the destruction that white America, or America at large, as you know people would call it, saw during these Black Lives Matter protests. Some of the violence, the mostly peaceful, quote-unquote peaceful protests, it ended up very fiery, destruction of small businesses, a lot of innocent people being injured, stores being looted, police stations and courthouses being taken over, which is different than small businesses being looted, I'll give you that. They represent some of the problems, but anyway, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I will say that it is different than looting and burning small businesses. Tell me your take on some of the stuff that we've seen in the news media and how they branded it and the narrative that was trying to be spun. And do you agree with it?
Well, I create my own narrative first and foremost, so it doesn't matter what the news is trying to paint. And that's what I had to decide to do when I created this organization. I in no way support the violence that took place. There were a lot of moving parts involved. Riots of the voice of the unheard, but it wasn't just Black Lives Matter. You had Antifa, you had all kind of anarchists. You had just, the radicals, people in groups who wanted attention, who took part in the violence that we saw and that we witnessed. But I myself, in no way, had nothing to do with any of the violence, or do I support it whatsoever, or my organization.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Very candid. And it is, the parallels can also be seen in a crazy way. A lot of people say that a lot of the instigators of the violence and of the incitement that happened on January 6th were Antifa protesters and infiltrators, communists, Marxists, kind of working their way and co-opting a movement and taking advantage of a bunch of people gathered and turning it into a crazy event. And to hear you also attribute a lot of the domestic violence and things that occurred, the looting, the burnings and stuff like that, to a lot of those bad actors as well, that does not represent the core of Black Lives Matter. Am I right with that?
Absolutely, 100%. Black Lives Matter represents American
people. Mark, can we hear, brother?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, no, I said absolutely. You're 100% correct. That's my value system. I stand on that. I don't back away from it, and I don't compromise. For the most part, Black Lives Matter represents Americans who love their country and are American patriots.
Amen. I love that. I love that. That is trying to spin a narrative at you to try to divide you so that they can keep you controlled in some type of bubble of information where they're telling you what Black Lives Matter is. But we're hearing it right now from an organizer, from a founder of a state, an entire state's Black Lives Matter organization. So turn off the Fox News channel and tune into Political Prisoner Podcast. You're going to get the real news here straight from the man himself, Mark Fisher. So, Mark, continue. A lot of us in conservative media and conservative, we also hear about the destruction of the nuclear family and the pushing for the LGBTQ, transgender, anti-man and woman is a marriage type of family scenario, and the abortion goes along with that. The women's feminism, they have the right to slaughter their own unborn child inside their belly, a gift from God. Where do you stand on that? And do you think that also is something that has been mischaracterized about Black Lives Matter?
Absolutely. Black people, first of all, we're not a monolith, but I can tell you what. We love the family. We love the nuclear family. We support the nuclear family. And the Democratic Party is the absolute antithesis of that. And it has destroyed the Black family as we know it. It has destroyed the family structure as we know it. And I have nothing good to say about the Democratic Party or Joe Biden. I believe it's a racist party with racist policies that directly negatively impact blacks and black families.
Woo! Strong words, great. I agree with you, and I particularly want to point out, you say black people aren't a monolith, and neither are white people, and neither are any type of people. We all have different circumstances that shape our worldview and our politics and stuff like that. But from what I know about the black community is that they have strong family values, a majority of it, and people that do not, the LGBTQ that's trying to destroy the nuclear family, the sanctity of marriage, the abortion rights and stuff, they represent a fringe of the black community and the BLM community at large, not necessarily what the core represents. Is that correct?
That's correct, and that's why black people need to start pivoting from the Democratic Party, because there's this narrative that has been created, like Joe Biden even said, like, you ain't black if you don't vote Democrat. That's the most insulting, offensive thing I've ever heard a politician say in my life. So in other words, we can't think for ourselves, you know. I'm a Trump supporter, so don't tell me I ain't black, you know. And so, because, you know, like I said, the Democratic Party has destroyed the family structure as we know it, the way that God intended it, the way that we read it in the Bible, the way that we see it, and the way that is natural to all laws.
Say it louder for people in the back, Mark. You hear that, people? This is a division that we will not allow them to sow in our country. We have brothers and sisters on the other side of the train track, so to speak, that believe the same way we do, that think the same way we do, that love God and love our country and love our families the same way we do. Turn off CNN, turn off Fox, go hug your neighbor. Okay, moving forward. We've got some, I wanted to share with you actually something, Mark. I wanted to get your perspective on this, because this is something that you don't even know. I'm about to share something with you that's going to blow your mind. On January 6th, I am a white Messianic Jew. I'm a Jewish man. My mom's Jewish. I'd be considered a Jew. On January 6th, I was caught up in a situation with extreme police brutality and, I mean, relentless attack by the police on unarmed American citizens, where we were put into a dog pile scenario at about 4:20 p.m. on the West Terrace Tunnel steps, and people were dying. They're being suffocated and trampled, hit with chemical sprays, and bludgeoned by the police with their weapons. And during that scuffle, I was able to get out of that myself, and I turned back around, and I tried to save the life of Rose. She died in my arms. It was a tragic scenario. She died. An unarmed American woman died by police brutality on steps of her own Capitol. But right after that, I couldn't save Roseanne. I was yanking at her and yanking at her, and I couldn't get her. God rest her soul. It's one of the most haunting things about this experience for me. And I hopped over a railing, and I saw a young black man, Philip Anderson, with his tongue hanging out of the side of his head, completely unconscious, not breathing. And he was being brutalized by the police. I'm caught on video, which is kind of one of the highlights, I guess. It's a horrible scenario to have, but one of the highlights of the documentary I put out, The Truth About January 6th, that has got over 2 million views on Rumble. It's the number one viewed video ever on Rumble, which is like the conservative YouTube. And I actually was able to bear hug up Philip Anderson, who is being murdered by the police, or attempted, and I was able to drag him out and bring him to the Patriot medics who resuscitated him. And the news headlines in, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, they never read, white Jewish man saves black man from police brutality, murder, attempted murder on the steps of the Capitol. That scenario never happened. What I've been asking and saying in my interviews for years now, where's been Black Lives Matter to support the Jan Sixers and support that scenario? I saved the life of an unarmed black man from police brutality on the steps of the Capitol. I wanted to get your perspective on that. And now you're here. Now Black Lives Matter is here supporting and standing in solidarity. So the worm has turned. We're seeing a new day in America.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason why is because, like I said, they create the narrative. So I chose and choose to make and create my own narrative. This was the whole point in my creating the organization. No longer were we going to allow ourselves to be defined by what media says, by what print says, by what the left says, by what the right says. And I can promise you that you got all kind of, if not, spoken, unspoken support for what you did. But we don't have the platform. We don't have that soapbox. But I could speak for a large swath of black people and telling you that your efforts are much appreciated and respected. Absolutely.
Thanks. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. It's been a long time waiting to have some of that healing, time with the community, because Philip wasn't just the only black person there, the only minority there whatsoever. I mean, inside this pod right now, inside D.C. jail, we have three men of color, actually, that are inside the pod right now, about 30 guys. Pictures have come through here, black guys, Hispanic guys, Middle Eastern guys, Americans. We're Americans at the end of the day. And, we've been trying to, kind of bring together this division that, they painted us as white supremacists and racists and anti-Semites, if you could believe that, at the Capitol that day, that there were acts of American unity that go far beyond what we've ever imagined.
You have 1 minute remaining.
We were shoulder and shoulder defending our country from tyranny together, me and Philip Anderson. And that's the image that they don't want you to see. That's what they don't want.
Yeah, and we're in jeopardy of losing that. We're in danger of losing that. If we don't take our country back, if we don't take the narrative back, and we don't step out as bold leaders to shape the future of this country and for those to come behind us to follow, that's what's at stake, everything.
Amen. Mark, we're going to bring you back for one more segment. I want to get more of your take on the military-industrial complex and the militarization of our police force, the FBI being tyrants and the Gestapo of Joe Biden arresting all these January Sixers, and some more about your background of BLM and where you want to see these two movements grow together. So everybody join us. We'll be back after these commercials. Quick look by our sponsors on the Gateway Pundit and all the great people that support us. Thank you, guys. God bless. Mark, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Today, I've said it many times. I'm going to say it again because it's true. This is historic. We've got a January 6th political prisoner being abused by the criminal justice system, talking to a leader from Black Lives Matter, the founder of BLM Rhode Island, Mark Fisher. We've had already a great discussion. If you guys are listening on Gateway Pundit, God bless you, Gateway Pundit listeners and readers. Support Mark Fisher. There's going to be some links down in the bottom to get more connected with him and his speaking tour he's going on. If you guys are listening and watching on Blessed News Network, What's up, my blessed family? God bless you guys. Let's get back into this. Now, Mark, my brother, tell me more about some of your beliefs and some of what you think we need to fix about this militarized police force in America and what they represent, the tyranny, like you said earlier, about them having all the power and us not being able to do anything when they enforce all these draconian measures on us, the lockdowns and stuff. Tell me about your beliefs and the stance of BLM on militarized police forces and police brutality and the stuff that I've lived through and witnessed now for years.
Well, what they're saying when they want to increase the police presence, which I've dealt with, the heavy police presence since I formed my organization, especially in the year of 2020, is that we can't think for ourselves and they can't trust us to be responsible, upstanding citizens, and that they want to control our thinking, control our thoughts, and intimidate us by a heavy police presence and by the militarization of police, that we can't regulate ourselves as citizens. You know, in Atlanta, as a matter of fact, there's a big dispute over Cop City, in which they're trying to spend, if I'm not mistaken, close to several tens of millions of dollars on a place called Cop City, where they can fund and train and make it pretty much a city for cops. And that's going to be the blueprint going forward if we don't understand what they're trying to do and how they're trying to control us through intimidation, through fear tactics, and through the militarization of police. How much money do you need for police? When is too much enough?
I understand. I understand. And in many ways, as a libertarian myself, I agree in many ways. And I think our founding fathers, I think our Constitution agrees with the fact that we, the people, are supposed to be the sovereigns and the people that can have the seat of power and stuff. Now, I also believe, as a godly Christian man, in law and order, and that the police, if used properly, you know, the sheriffs and the people come get your cats out of the tree that help stop, you know, random acts of violence and, you know, sexual assaults and things like that, that they're very necessary and that they're a beautiful part of what makes America a safe and beautiful country. How do you balance the difference, because it's hard for me sometimes, between a militarization and an overkill of police presence and police force in the country with just the right amount to keep the community safe and keep people in a healthy environment? Where do you see that line being drawn? Where's healthy for you?
Well, police are important, obviously. Where there is no police, chaos ensues. We have to have police, but we don't need militarization of police. That's a very clear distinction and a very obvious line that needs to be drawn, as well as our Second Amendment right. That's just as vitally important as police presence. That way, the police, if ever militarized, the threat can be quickly matched or quelled because of our constitutional right. So the police are important, and you know, because we have to have that. But like I said, as responsible citizens, okay, who govern ourselves, among ourselves, and by ourselves, and for ourselves, we need to be trusted to be able to regulate our own society and our own civilization without the threat of a military in our city.
Spoken like a true patriot, brother. I love that, and I agree with that. And that's why we have a Second Amendment right for militia, because when the government, especially the federal Gestapo, the FBI, starts doing these no-knock raids and throwing flash grenades and showing up with these armored Humvees with 50 cal mounted machine guns and ripping citizens out of their homes, and creating an environment of fear and oppression, that's really when we lose our country. And that's what's happening right now to the Jan 6 community. It's been happening to the minority community forever. I just pray, and I want to just touch on this quickly too, the healing that we need to see in a lot of the minority communities and cities where it is so violent, like New York City where I'm from, and Chicago with these death and murder rates. Do you believe it's going to come from electing more Democrats, or do you think it's going to come from strong black leaders and minority leaders rechanging what's healthy in the community, and maybe bringing a new area of influence to them, saying that we need to heal ourselves instead of thinking the Democrats are going to heal our cities for us.
Most definitely, it's going to come from us. It's going to come from within. We're going to have to elevate our own leaders and understand there's a difference between black leaders and the leaders of black people, because the leaders of black people are puppets. They've been elected by the media, but the black leaders have been elected by the people. And so, you know, once we, the people in our community, understand that it's going to take us, like I said, helping us, and you know, we can't depend on the government to save us or rescue us. We have to do it for ourselves. We've been through a lot, understandably, and you know, but that's no excuse. We've all been through a lot. Everybody's been through a lot, and here in America, the greatest country in the world, maybe in the history of the world, there's no excuse why we as black people can't get it together, pull up our bootstraps, you know, sit down and in council, create a plan and a way for our people to do it and to achieve and not only achieve but be exceptional in all that we achieve without the help of the government. There's no reason why we can't do it.
100%. I agree with that 100%. I love to see the self-starter attitude and a healthy respect for godly principles and Christian values. And there's nothing more that the MAGA American community would love to see Chicago have a church revival and an influence and a change in the culture there, away from the violence, the drugs, the gang banging, and the things that ruin the black community, and celebrate the things that make the black community. I lived in Harlem for 2 years. I sold hats on the street in Harlem. I dropped out of college. I sold hats on the street in Harlem. My company's called Harlem Pusher. I've seen the most love and support come around from the black community in El Barrio, and celebrate the things that make the diversity so beautiful in America, and the culture of the black people and this minority community in America, and elevate those things that, like you said, elevate the good and get rid of the things that are hurting us and keeping us segregated and stuff. And so, you know, this is a culmination of the communities in America trying to support one another, to help heal one another, and offer out an extending hand, more youth leadership, more church leadership inside these broken cities to help change the cities, instead of electing and pouring in billions of dollars to these Democrats that are doing nothing for decades in these cities. More of the same is what you're going to get. And so that's I extend that out to the American people, and I extend that out to you too, that's what we need to do. We need to take the self-starter initiative to heal these communities and not think the government's going to help or do anything.
And you know what? That's why I love you, man. And that's the kind of talk that's going to heal our country and save our country. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take, you know, us overcoming our fears and our prejudices. It's going to take us overcoming, you know, our biases. It's going to take us overcoming all of these things and boldly, you know, embracing each other with love, with understanding, with empathy, with compassion as Americans, as American brothers and sisters. Because let me tell you something. I can tell you one thing about black people. We're not all a monolith, but I can tell you this. We love everybody. I can speak confidently when I say that. And we accept everybody. You're all welcome to the cookout. As long as you treat us right, we just want you to love us back. That's all. And, you know, that kind of talk right there is going to save this country. Us meeting each other. We can't meet in the middle until we have a meeting of the mind. And me and you, right now, this conversation that we're having, because that's what it is, it's a conversation, is the blueprint to how we're going to save this country.
Amen. Amen. I love that, Mark. All right, so Mark Fisher, guys, everybody, he is going on a crusade, a speaking tour that we're going to help fund right now. We're going to go over to his Cash App and his GiveSendGo, and we're going to try to help fund this because he's kind of shifting gears in a lot of his political approach right now and trying to build a bridge and cross the gap of the Black Lives Matter and the Jan 6 community, and going out on a speaking tour showing solidarity and support of the January 6th political prisoners. And I want you, Mark, to tell us a little bit about what influenced you, what inspired you, and what your goals are by this speaking tour and these interviews and stuff you're doing right now. Tell me what you're looking to gain out of this.
What I'm trying to gain out of it is attention. I want people to see.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I want people to see this is the model and this is the blueprint. Just like I did with Black Lives Matter, that worked. What we did, we opened up a school. We opened up a charter school and a computer science institute because it worked. What we did worked. And what I do works. I'm reaching out. I'm humbling myself. I'm stepping across all aisles. I'm bridging all gaps. And so this is what I want to speak about. I want to speak about a brotherhood. That's what it is. It's a brotherhood that we have. The power of black and white to drive meaningful change. That's the subject matter on the topic of January 6th. And I want to travel the country. I already speak to educators and students and student leaders alike around the country on, you know, the power of embracing themselves. And so I want to just kind of switch gears, open up this new chapter, this new circuit.
Hey, Mark, finish your thought here. It's going to hang up on me, but you finish your thought. Okay, and then I'm going to wrap up a little bit later. Thank you so much for coming on. God bless you, brother.
Love Thank you, man. For using Global Tellink.
And so I want to shift gears, and I want to just be a model going forward, because it's going to take bold leadership for everybody to witness, to see, you know, that this is not something that's just a figment of our imagination, but this is real people. This is real life. This is flesh and blood. This is spiritual kin, and, you know, they're going out of their way to make it happen. They're looking for ways to make it happen, to bridge the gap, expanding their horizons, and doing whatever it takes to save our country, our great nation. And it's worth saving, and everything that we have to do and put into saving it. So, you know, I hope you're all with me, and I look forward to speaking to you at a city near you in the near future. Thanks. God bless. Bye-bye.
Wow. Yes, Mark Fisher, thank you so much for joining me on the Political Prisoner Podcast. I've been so humbled and grateful to have you on, to see the work you're doing to bridge the divide in America, to bring conservative values over to the Black Lives Matter community is awesome. That you're a Trump supporter, you're a man of God, all these things are so awesome. I don't think that you would find him anywhere else, so it's truly great to see that there are so many people inside your community that align with the MAGA community, and that we're not as far apart, we're not as different as they try to paint us on these news shows and newspapers and whatnot. Maybe there's a huge future for Black Lives Matter and January 6th to combine together to stand in unity against government overreach and oppression and corruption. Things that we all can get behind. So thanks again, guys. Everybody that's been listening today, I want you to share this like crazy. This has some spiritual power behind it. The Holy Spirit was with us during this entire episode, and Jesus Christ was in the midst of us. And I just want the healing to reach every single American. I wish that everybody could hear what we've done today, and with your help, they can. So, guys, go on, share this on Twitter and Getter and Truth and Facebook, MySpace, whatever you got. Share. Thank you so much. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. Just search Jake Lang in the search bar. Tune in on Blessed News Network every Saturday and Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're live with the Political Prisoner Podcast, and of course, Gateway Pundit readers, we love you forever. Thank you so much. You guys are the best, one of the best communities in America. I couldn't be more grateful to be able to host this podcast on Gateway Pundit. Thank you guys all for tuning in. It's Jake Lang, live from the D.C. Gulag. I'm here until further notice, until God calls me up out of the lion's den. I'm reporting and staying diligent in my faith. You should stay diligent in yours, too. God bless you all. God bless America.